You're listening to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef. And for the next hour, we're going to tackle popular nutrition topics from a scientific lens, promoting fact over fiction with no BS. Hannah, thank you for joining me on a Friday to our podcast.
Happy Friday, everyone. Wow.
Hi, everyone.
I hope everyone had a great week. What?
I'm just laughing because I'm glad we don't take ourselves too seriously. Like, I'll listen to some podcasts and be like, this is nutrition news for you coming straight from the tap. Unlock your ears to learn. Like, stuff like this, like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, we're a little more laid back here at No BS Nutrition. Also, mm-hmm. I've been meaning to tell you, and this is a compliment. Please. This is a compliment, by the way, because I think everyone...
Okay, the way that you're phrasing that, I'm like, it's not, but go
no, I think that everyone listening would also agree with me, but maybe I'll have to play it into the microphone. But there's this TikTok sound. I know, I'm talking about TikTok again. I'm sorry, everyone. I just talk about TikTok all the time.
It's because you're young. You're younger than me.
I'm young.
Your generation.
2 years younger
your generation
than
tick.
Okay. But there's this. So you know how on TikTok there's like different audios that you can use to like put a video to?
Yeah.
So there's this one video that's like an evil laugh, but then it turns into like a really high pitched, like, ha! Like, okay, I can't even do that. That's not right.
I love that though.
But oh my God, I need to play it. Maybe I'll try to find it while you're talking and then play it at the end. But Pat pointed out to me that that laugh sounds like you. Like, it sounds like your laugh sometimes, like on the podcast.
It sounds like I could be doing it. I love that.
Yeah.
Maybe it is me, huh? Maybe you didn't know this, but I'm a TikTok star.
Maybe. Yeah. Wow. You're like an undercover TikTok star.
It might be me. I would love that. I would like I would like to completely change my life so that I have time to completely devote to TikTok. I'm gonna drop out, I think, and just do that.
You should. Honestly. I fully support you.
While you're finding that, okay. I'll start a little bit. So, you know, it's a Friday, you know, we'll talk a little, this is more of like a think piece topic, maybe one for the editorial part of the magazine. You know, I've been thinking a lot about climate change lately. I really have. And just about what really are our priorities on this earth? You know, I also recently read that Siberia is experiencing wildfires that are so bad that they're basically like the wildfires happening there right now are basically way worse than like every wildfire put together in the past, like however many years, like even the wildfires that are raging now in Western Canada, like all that.
Wow.
Put together the wildfires in Siberia, which is like, when I think of Siberia, I think of like huskies, cold, freezing Russian people.
Yeah.
And they're having wildfires that are like scarring their earth. That's like super wacky to me, obviously very scary. I also think of like just the availability of fresh water, the resource wars that are going to be sparked because of, you know, lack of production. Of course, like a lot of things are moving to like non-traditional farms, hydroponics and things like that. But are we going to be able to keep up with the world's demand? Like, especially with like how capitalist we are. I don't know. Anyway, so I think about all of this all the time, which makes living amazing, which makes it incredible to be alive. Anyway, so this is kind of what inspired my digging into this today.
Okay.
I'm wondering, do you have any thoughts? Do you have any thoughts on this? Like climate change, especially with respect to nutrition? Like, I do think there is an intersection there that, like, we are going to have to change the way that we eat in order to, like, probably, like, maintain the same kind of nutritional value that we receive every day. Maybe not in our lifetimes, but for sure, like, in the lifetimes of our grandchildren and so on.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is not a helpful answer. I feel like my thoughts on this are that I don't, like, sadly, I don't feel like that's, and I'm just being open and honest and admitting this here. Mm-hmm. I feel like food and climate change and food production and, you know, nutrition and climate change is not something I'm admitting here that I've, like, paid enough attention to, I don't think. Like, it's not an area that I've really read into or, like, looked into.
Our world is so obsessed with, like, not looking at, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about literally our world is so obsessed with, like, not looking into the future and just, like, maintaining the status quo that we have now that they're almost, like, just, like, on the whole, everyone's guessing what's going to happen in the future because we're not actually sitting down to make decisions about what it's going to look like. So I don't think you're at fault there. Like, we just, like, a lot of it is we don't know, like, because we're actively not changing anything about what we're doing now in order to, I mean, I'm sure there are people, like, making changes, but on the whole, things aren't moving in, like, an extremely sustainable way. Mm-hmm. So it's just, like, up to us to be, like, to wonder, like, what is it going to be like? It's almost like you have to, like, fill in the picture for yourself. So it's hard.
I also think that it's an area as well where there are a lot of misconceptions, too. I mean, that's one thing I do know. Like, there's a lot of misinformation. Like, similarly around, like, dieting or wellness culture and things like that, I do think that there's a lot of misinformation around, like, eating sustainably or eating for the environment. You know what I mean?
I mean, it reminds me of when we did the nut milk, the PBB, plant-based beverages, PBB episode. You know, one thing that we pointed out there was, like, just because you're eating vegan doesn't mean you're eating sustainably, for example. Or, like, just because you're consuming this nut milk doesn't mean that you're eating sustainably because of the way that it's manufactured or processed or shipped or whatever. It can still be, like, an incredible burden on the earth and on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one thing that I am certain of is that I don't know about a lot of times, but definitely sometimes, like, what is being told to you on, like, social media, I guess, about what it means to, like, care about the environment through your diet or, like, to eat sustainably isn't necessarily the best way to eat. You know what I mean?
Totally.
For, yeah, there's misinformation is what I'm trying to say.
I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
Totally. It's a real it's a real black box right now. So there are people doing incredible work. Like, one of my friends, Nicole Arsenault, people can look her up. She has blogs online about this. Her thesis is literally about, like, food sustainability and, like, food choices into the future with respect to climate change.
Yeah.
So, like, there are people doing amazing work and, like, putting a lot of thought into this. But I just, like, when you go to the grocery store, you don't really see that, like, that hasn't changed into anything. No one's made into, like, any actionable decisions based on our future, you know. So, I mean, anyway, so that's kind of what inspired me picking this topic in the first place. So what we're going to talk about today is a paper that was recently published called Food Insecurity and Brain Health in Adults, a systematic review by Alan McMichael and colleagues from this year, 2021. They're from Queen's University, Belfast, in the United Kingdom. And, I mean, of course, it goes without saying that what we eat obviously affects not only our, you know, not just the bottom half of our bodies, but our brains, too. They're part of our body, and it's our brain is also, just as much as it is part of our mental health, is also part of our physical health, and physical changes that are made to the brain will lead to, you know, mental health changes or cognitive changes and so on. So I was curious about this to see what people had been looking into, because food insecurity is huge right now. So I don't know if you do you come have you seen this a lot, like people say like Jeff Bezos could solve world hunger, like if he chose to, because he just like has that amount of money. There's a whole Twitter account called Has Jeff Bezos Decided to End World Hunger? And every day they just tweet no.
Oh my gosh.
Or Jeff Bezos has decided not to to fix world hunger.
Right.
So there are obviously like inextricable ties between what we eat, what's available to us, and our brain function. Food insecurity is defined as inadequate access to sufficient, safe, and nutritious food to meet dietary needs and food preferences for an active and healthy lifestyle, and obviously has been associated with adverse effects on physical health. There are about 1 billion people who are food insecure on the planet, it's thought. So that's like 1/7 of the planet. That's a lot of people. 1 in 7 people. 11% of populations in high-income countries to 57% of populations in low- and middle-income countries are estimated to be food insecure. And we've talked about this before with respect to even like the availability of clean water is not something that is ubiquitous in Canada. A lot of places, especially Indigenous reservations, Indigenous communities, have a lack of access to clean water just because of environmental racism. So it's a real problem. And with climate change and the fact that higher income countries are going to have a better ability to maintain availability of resources, food insecurity might become a worse problem in low and middle income countries first. So like we can even see it with the COVID vaccine, right? Like just because Canada and the US and other high income countries were rich enough, they were able to buy a lot of vaccine, even so much so that they knowingly bought too much, knowing that it would expire, just because they could afford it. And that meant that the Pfizer, Moderna, and other companies would be able to promise them their doses, like when they wanted them. Whereas low and middle income countries had to rely on like donations and basically like, unfortunately, like had to wait in like the proverbial line to get the figurative line in order to get their vaccines. And it even goes like beyond that, right? Like even the basic requirement to have some of the COVID vaccines was to have a freezer. And just even in Nova Scotia, like we only had quote unquote, like so many, like a handful of number of freezers that were adequate in order to store the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine. But imagine like in low and middle income countries, that problem was even worse. So even if they could buy the vaccine, they couldn't hold it because there was no infrastructure for it. So obviously, right. I think like we can take that and translate it to food insecurity. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a real problem, right? So, I mean, you would know very well what malnutrition can lead to. Food insecurity specifically is associated with hypertension, diabetes, in general, just poor quality of life, physical function, lower physical function, and increased healthcare costs and increased healthcare utilization, more people needing healthcare. So this study wanted to look into the brain health side of things. So this is more of like what's thought of as like cardiovascular, like body health, I guess. But they wanted to look at the brain aspects of it. They found 30 studies. This is a meta-analysis. They found 30 studies that met the criteria for their analysis that they were doing, which wanted to find out the effects of food insecurity on brain health. 7 of the studies were about cognitive performance. So, you know, that's basically what people would immediately think of is like maybe IQ, but cognitive performance also has to do with like how well you can perform tasks is usually what it's tested on in the laboratory setting. And those tasks could be like, I don't know, it could be 100 million different things, all from like visual performance, like being able to spot certain stimuli or being able to respond properly to a stimulus. Like if you always had to pick out the red circle, in like a, what if you saw like a green square, then like how fast you would be able to do that or how well you'd be able to do that repeatedly. 24 of the studies reported on depression, and they found a lack of studies investigating food insecurity on stroke and dementia. And they wanted to study these things because dementia, depression, and stroke are all really major contributors to the global burden of disease. So, any thoughts on this before I kind of go on to the results that they found?
No, I'm actually, I'm just really interested to hear what they found.
Yeah, so it's like sad, but interesting to read this. So individuals who are food insecure had increased likelihoods of depressive symptoms, which is not immediately what I would have thought of. I mean, it's kind of like a chicken and the egg thing here, maybe. Like, does being food insecure make you depressed? Or is the fact that, like, maybe, like, you live in poverty make you depressed?
Right.
And you also happen to be food insecure, right? So, like, there's a bit of chicken and egg situation there, but it is definitely something that might be linked. So, in low and middle income countries, people were 2 to 5 times more likely to report depression than in high income countries, like Canada and the US, for example, as compared to some other countries around the globe, in the global south, for example. Food insecurity also increased the likelihood of poorer global cognition. So this was from, you know, a variety of those 7 studies that I was talking about earlier that judged cognitive performance. There is some evidence to suggest that there's a cyclical relationship between food insecurity and depression, kind of what I was hinting about earlier, that's influenced by socioeconomic factors like poverty, income, and social capital. So there, they're introducing the idea of not just like your financial wealth, but also your social capital, like what your social circumstance looks like who you have around you, the connections that you have, the network that you have around you, also contributes to your health. It's like, I don't know if you, do you remember the Harvard study? It's just like, that's the nickname of it, but it's a very famous study looking at what makes people happy.
Okay.
And the thing that they basically got decided on was that the thing that was the largest contributor was having a large social circle. Like, the more people you have around you, the better relationships you have around you, the better your happiness is likely to be. Anyway. So they looked at studies that included people who identified as Latino, and they found that social support, in that same vein, attenuated the levels of depressive symptoms in low-income people. And studies including West African participants found that cognitive impairment was predicted not by general food insecurity, but specifically by early life hunger. Other studies also included the possibility that early life hunger was linked to dementia in later life, kind of introducing the idea of a critical period, right? Like, food insecurity might be bad, but it's extremely bad maybe like when you're first
early
growing
on.
Up
yeah.
as a child, early on when in the developmental stages. High quality diets, they found, were associated with slower rates of cognitive decline and slower rates of late life dementia. So this is good. They were looking at not only at what food security results in, but they were also looking to see what being food secure results in, and found that there was evidence for the opposite,
right.
Which is a good sign that their links probably like have some merit to them. They also found that high quality diets had a reduced risk of depression, while diets high in saturated fats and added sugars were linked to neuroinflammatory processes. And interestingly, they pointed out specifically in the hippocampus, which is among many things, is a memory area in the brain, so impairing memory. Obviously, there's a lot of limitations to all this. They were comparing a lot of different studies that had completely different populations, completely different measures of food insecurity. They were comparing, you know, different income countries, low and high income countries. Obviously, they were trying to control for all this stuff, as these studies do. But there are super complicated relationships between variables. Like we pointed out, this kind of cyclical nature between food insecurity and depression. So it's difficult to imagine that they've controlled for everything possible. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
So next steps. So food insecurity, kind of hinted at this at the beginning of the episode, is preventable and reversible, unlike you know, certain diseases or the effects of certain injuries, like the effects of some strokes, right? So it almost seems like such a no-brainer that we should be putting effort into solving world hunger or food insecurity. And it's like sad, but it's also hopeful. It's like this is something that, like, if we put our energy into as a planet, might result in like benefits that will supersede anything else that we try to do. It's almost like if you put more money into healthcare, like that's a really good thing. But if people didn't have like food in the first place, or like good, healthy, nutritious food available to them, just providing more healthcare to them is never going to stop them needing the doctor in the first place.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So this was really interesting for me. Obviously, like, brain health is maybe something that's thought of as a secondary thing in the wellness industry. Like, there definitely are these products that we've talked about before that, like, quote, like, boost your brain, whatever.
Yeah. The gum.
But the focus is, the gum. But the focus is always on, like, well, really, it's just veiled desire for weight loss, veiled as, like,
right,
people pretending it's all about cardiovascular health or whatnot. There's rarely the desire to talk about health with respect to our brain. My friend Nicole that I was talking about earlier, she really instilled in me the idea that, like, your one person's contribution actually does make a difference. Like, if you didn't do that, it wouldn't have happened. So even though it's one person who might be, like, eating more sustainably, or eating locally, or making better choices that are, like, better for everybody around them, even if it's just one person, or, like, who, like, makes sure the thing goes in the right recycling bin, like, it happened because that person did it, and it wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Right.
So I think, like, kudos to everybody who does their best to do that sort of work. You really do make a difference. Like, that one person's vote really does count. So
yeah. I like that. That's a good reminder, because I definitely think that it's easy to think, I'm just one person, like, how am I going to make a difference? Like, how is this one single action, or this one single, you know, small donation or whatever, like, how is that going to make a difference? But it really, it's a nice reminder to hear that it actually does, and it could.
I mean, even something as simple as, like, something I try my hardest with is food waste. Like, I try to minimize food waste as much as possible.
Yep.
So that's something I want to continue getting better at, for sure. I think that's a goal that I would have.
I like that. Yeah. That's something, again, I think that's been a goal of mine too. It's a challenge for me, reducing food waste. You've inspired me. That's a good goal to work towards.
You've inspired me always.
Okay. AirPods are going to die, I'm afraid, but I want to play this for you. Okay, so take this as my tasty for the week. This is the this is the sound, the TikTok sound that sounds like you. I don't like.
Okay,
hold on. Okay, I just heard it and it sounded so, like, okay. Just wait. It's you just have to wait for it. Okay.
Okay. Do you know what? I can hear it.
Like, I can just hear it. Like, I'm like, that is Tarek.
I can hear that for sure, actually. Yeah, I'm proud to say I live in that same family of laughs.
Yeah, I think people listening can probably hear it too, because they hear you laugh.
And now my secret's out.
Yeah, now that was you.
That was me.
Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was interesting. Now every time I hear that, like, little song on TikTok, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Tarek.
Well, I, you know what? That's lovely. I like that.
Yeah, it's just another reason to think about you.
That's very sweet. I think my tasty this week is something I haven't done yet, but that I want to do for myself, is I really just want to make sure I have, this is, like, so bougie, but I really want more flowers at home. Even, like, it doesn't have to be expensive. Like, could just be, like, a bouquet from the grocery store. But I want to I want to have flowers at home more often because I really like flowers and I think it would be nice.
I love that. Yeah. I have a bouquet of flowers that I got. I went to my friend's bridal shower on Sunday and the like party favor, I guess. I don't know. Like usually that you get, like you go to bridal shower, you get a little something to take home, a little gift or whatever.
Yeah.
And the favor was like build your own flower bouquet. So they had like a bunch of flowers and then the guests like when you were leaving would like pick a few flowers and make your own little bouquet. So I have my own little
We're gonna have to talk off pod about whose wedding that is and I want an invitation.
Oh yeah, okay, totally. I'll see what I can do if I can get you in.
Yeah. But what a great party favor. I love that.
Yeah, isn't that, it was a nice idea. I really liked that. And then everyone got to go home with fresh flowers.
I want to do that like for my wedding.
Yeah, you could do that. That's expensive, though. For, like, for weddings, like, getting the flowers in, like, all of those flowers for your wedding, that's, like, one of the biggest costs or, like, surprising costs that I've heard. Anyways, now we're talking about weddings.
Oh, yeah. Having flowers.
The flowers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could easily make it a huge portion. It's easy to go overboard.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think.
Yeah.
Depending on the kind of flower you want to get. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, that's another discussion.
That being said, Hannah and I are giving all of you virtual flowers, flower bouquets for listening. Thank you so much for listening. Please make sure you head over to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review or 5-star rating and leave us a review. You can find us on Spotify, on Google Podcasts. I think almost every single podcast platform that there is, we've tried our best to make sure that it's easily accessible. And speaking of accessibility, I'm actually trying to see if there's because Hannah and I don't make money off this, like a cost-effective way for us to transcribe the podcast so that it's even more accessible. And I'll tell you about this later. I'm going to go catch the bus home now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thank you so much for listening. It's another Friday, so please enjoy your weekend. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.